Hi, this is Mike Swanson of Wall Street. We've got a real special guest with me. It's Mike Saul, otherwise known as Tiny of Stock Market Trends X. How you doing?
Okay, great, Mike. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, I've been out of town the other week I went out of town. I haven't done an interview with you for a while and thought it'd be good to catch up. The stock market, you know, has pretty much been going straight up so far this year without really any serious pullback. What do you see going on? Do you think it's just going to keep charging higher, or do you see any danger signs here, or what's your thoughts on what's happening?
Okay, well, the last time I talked to you, I was watching for the 2011 highs to be tested on the S&P, and that finally happened last week. I mean, we were grinding, and we finally hit the 2011 highs. So now what? Well, there's short-term, very key resistance above at 1381.50. That's a Fibonacci number for those of you who are playing along at home. And that's a very key critical number on the short term. And I think that if we do not get up past that 1381.50 number, then I think we have a chance for a deeper pullback than what we've seen so far this year. Now, there are a couple of warning signs. And first is the Russell, which, you know, we're doing this on, for those of you who are referencing the date, if you're watching this later on, we're doing this on March 5th. So last week, on Friday the 2nd, the Russell 2000 broke down out of a multi-week range to the downside, which is not going to be good for the market if that doesn't snap back. And of course, for the Dow theory folks, the Dow transports have been diverging from the Dow Industrials now for a couple of weeks as well. So I'm not a big, like you, Mike, I don't like to call tops and bottoms, all right? I like to wait for confirmation. And it's very hard to call the exact top. I mean, I think it's a fool's game. So that 1381.50 is just a reference number. But if we pull back from here, I'm going to watch for one more test up, at least to see if that, you know, if they put a high in, and then I'm going to be watching for a potential short side opportunity. But a V reversal, which is where we just turn on a dime, they're rare overall, but they're very rare on the upside. You know, I'm sure you've been around long enough to know that the upside is fueled by complacency, and complacency can just last for almost ever. I mean, obviously it doesn't, right? Because we have corrections, but it's just amazing how long complacency will last. And, you know, I just think it's a lot of people calling for tops and calling for highs. Maybe they're right. But to me, I want to be sure. I want to see a test up there that fails to hammer in the high.
Yeah, I'm looking right now on stockcharts.com at a group of charts showing me the advanced decline line for the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. And one thing that really stands out is the NASDAQ is kind of been leading this rally, and the advanced decline line for that turned down just like the Russell 2000 did last week. It's actually, you know, it made a peak in early February and it's been declining ever since, while the NASDAQ itself's been going up. What that would suggest is that there's fewer stocks now leading the rally inside the NASDAQ, which is itself the index that's going up the most. And you can see that, you know, some of the real big cap stocks like Apple are doing the best, while other stocks in the NASDAQ 100 are at the moment doing as well. Like you can look at Amazon or a bunch of other ones. And that's usually the sort of thing you see when you get near some sort of top. But then on the other hand, like you said, I think the sentiment and complacency is real important to watch for. And the Investors Intelligence Survey, which polls investment advisors, isn't at the levels where it peaked out last year or the year before. In fact, it showed a little dip in the number of bulls last week. So I'm seeing a lot of cross currents. I'm expecting some sort of correction to happen sometime this year, but I don't see a sign of a top yet. So I guess I'm kind of like you, seeing what's happening on a day-by-day or week-by-week basis.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think a correction's coming. The fact that we're in election year suggests that we will get one during the year. So, you know, that's something else if you're looking at the historical stock market trends. But Yeah, I mean, I see the cross currents too. I mean, the volatility index, the VIX, that spiked up, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. That was out of nowhere. I didn't understand what that was about. But, I mean, yeah, you know, I agree with everything you say. The breadth is diverging, and I mean, the Russell's diverging, the transports are diverging, and yet people are still looking, you know, where's the top? Where's the top? And, you know, there's a famous saying, you know, if you have to ask, I mean, it really, really applies to the bottom, all right, because nobody really cares about the top. They just want to keep buying. That's the cold complacency.
Yeah, that's right.
But there's a saying, on you know, with the bottom that somebody came into, I think it was Justin Mamis in his book, Nature of Risk, if I'm saying his name right. But they came in and they said, you know, is it the bottom yet? And he said, you know, if you have to ask, it's not. And I'm probably really butchering his quote, but it's a great book if you ever get to. I haven't read it in a couple of years, but I'm going to start reading it again. But anyway, it's the same thing with the top. I mean, if these people are just waiting and waiting and waiting, and you know, the more they're waiting, the more people are just giving up and going, okay, I guess we got to get in. I guess we're never going down again. Which, of course, we know is false. I mean, the market ebbs and flows, and it reverts back to the mean. So when we're stretched like this, you know, we really have to be, you know, aware that a pullback can, you know, come. So just have to be, you know, on your toes. And it's just because the market's complacent, you know, most of the participants are complacent, it doesn't mean that we have to be. You know, we have to be more active.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that you look at a chart now, the S&P 500, and you know, if you look at 2010, at the very end of 2010, and at the very beginning of December, it started a rally then and went straight up without a pullback that lasted more than a day until the end of February. And now it's basically done the same thing. It's gone straight up since right before Christmas. You know, without pulling back. It's, you know, it's pretty amazing how the market nowadays does this. And, you know, we've both been around for a long time, and, you know, not in the late 90s and the first couple years of 2000, the market didn't really do things like this. You'd get pullbacks after every, you know, it would rally a couple weeks, pull back a week, go, you know what I mean? There's more pullback. Right. Now it's like straight up or straight down.
Yeah, it seems like it's almost contrived. I mean, you know, this year, even though we're only 2 months gone, has washed away a lot of the errors that people made last year. I mean, yeah, we closed flat. We closed just a touchdown last year, but you know, there was still a lot of underperformance. There were a lot of hedge funds that underperformed, a lot of mutual funds that underperformed because they got caught flat-footed. And I don't know if we talked back then, but I remember reading a big article on one of the major sites, and they said, in like December, early December, the hedge funds just gave up. They just went flat, put their money into bonds, and they're just waiting for the new year. Well, you know what? This is wiping away a lot of their quote-unquote sins from last year. I mean, you know, look at this move. It's just a grinding move higher, which are the strongest types of moves. You know, people think that, oh, you know, I want to see volatile move with a lot of range expansion. Well, you know, that's not a powerful move. That doesn't last. Moves like this where you just grind and grind and grind, and it aggravates everybody. It aggravates the day traders because there's not a lot of range. It aggravates the swing traders because there's not a good enough pullback. Those are the strongest types of market. It doesn't let you get in unless you just close your eyes and hit buy. And of course, like you mentioned, great, if you're on Apple, hey, you know what? You know, good for you. But if you're on Amazon, you're like, how the heck am I underperforming the market? It's straight up since you know, December, and I'm in Amazon, which is, you know, getting killed. I don't understand this. So it's you know, still a stock picker's market, despite the fact that the market has just been going on a straight line up. So you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm like you, I'm waiting for that pullback, and I can't wait to talk to you again after it happens. And then, you know, we'll, when the dust settles, we'll see what happens from that. Like I said, I don't think we just turn on a dime. I think if we do get a deep pullback, I think we probably get at least a testing, you know, at least a testing phase back up, just like we saw, like you said, in 2010, 2011.
Right. It took a while for the market to pull back. And like, just look at last year, it peaked out in February and didn't really, you know, it went into a range and then pulled back in August, really.
Right.
So, but that was, when it does pull back like that, it's a doozy. Yeah. It goes down fast.
Absolutely.
So, but anyway, well, thanks for taking the time to talk with everybody, and I know you got some other stuff to do, and hopefully we'll do another follow-up interview in the future.
Great, Mike. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care.